Okay, we're gonna call the meeting of the Town of Discovery Bay Community Service District to order. Join Director Leet and pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, can I have roll call, please?
Roll call has been taken and let the record reflect that all members are present with Finance Manager Julie Carter on the phone.
All right, at this point of the meeting, we're gonna open it up for public comments. The public can address the board on any item that is not on the agenda. We do have a 3-minute time frame, so I'd like to now go out in the teleconference and ask the moderator if we have any public comments.
Any public on the line, and now's the time to make your comment?
Yeah, hello, good evening. Hello, board, how's everybody doing? I hope good. This is Terry Mahaney over on Discovery Bay Boulevard. Couple things. The other day, I sent an email to one of the board members asking a question about how long trailers can be parked on the street, and I never got a reply back. And I'm just wondering if an email to the board members is the best way to get ahold of somebody. I mean, I know you guys can't answer questions, but I don't know. I mean, that's the way I did it, and I didn't get a response back. So if there's another way, I don't know what it is. Second thing, this one is kind of for the sheriffs in regard to the speed. The other day, you guys pulled over my wife for doing 46 in the 40. And she was all scared to death, and she says she was kind of afraid to come home and tell me about it. So I know you guys are out there working, so I really appreciate that. So if you would really like to get a good bang for your buck, you could sit in the 1200 block of Discovery Bay, and you can see 46 miles an hour all day long in a 25-mile zone. So this is also a request for the Sheriff Department and for the CHP. Just requesting again for you guys to sit out in the 1200 block of Discovery Bay Boulevard. I have called your offices, and I just get promised that somebody will be out. And here again, I don't see anybody, but I know you are working because you pulled my wife over, so. Anyhow, that's all I gotta say this month. So, talk to you guys later. Thank you very much for your support.
Okay, is there any other public comment?
Yeah, my name is Andrew Para. I'm a resident here at Kingsbury Street over by Shepherd Point School. And I've noticed recently that there's been real neglect with the landscaping. I've lived here 19 years, and I've never seen it. In the state that it's in. And I want to make sure that this gets on the agenda for next month.
All right. Is there any other public comment?
Nobody.
Okay, hearing none, I'm going to close public comment and move on to the consent calendar. Is there any items from the board that need to be removed from the consent calendar?
Move to accept.
Second.
Is there any public comment? All those in favor?
Aye.
We need to have a roll call vote.
Clerk, call the roll.
Call for the roll, clerk.
Vice President Gatto?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Director Lee?
Aye.
Director Mayer?
Aye.
President Keith?
Aye. And with that, we're going to move on to area agency reports. Do we have a representative from Supervisor Burgess' office?
Hi, yes, Leah's on the phone.
Hello, Leah.
Hi, Kevin. All right, I will start. So just a reminder on the census, please complete your census. All residents can complete the survey by going to mycensus2020.gov and entering their census ID. A coming over the next 10 years. The U.S. Census Bureau will begin non-response follow-up starting August 11th through September 30th. So complete your census. Roadwork. We have lots of roadwork going on right now, specifically out in the Byron area. We've got a chip seal project going on that just started yesterday, and that will go through August 14th. That work will occur Monday through Friday, and it will take place on Byron Highway between Byron Hot Springs Road and State Route 4, and on Camino Diablo from Basco Road to Byron Highway. So expect delays. Also, the Byron Highway Bridge Replacement Project. So the county has opened the Notice of Public Review and Intent for the Byron Highway Bridge Replacement Project. The project would replace the existing 360 feet and make roadway improvements on both sides and of the new structure. Public comment period is now through August 19th, and you can submit those comments to County Public Works. The environmental document is expected to go before the Board of Supervisors on September 15th. We're also in the process of doing the countywide guardrail upgrade project. So on Basco Road, Public Works began construction on July 15th, and that will conclude on August 7th. And then Marsh Creek Road, construction started on August 3rd and will conclude in mid-September. Contra Costa Transportation Authority, there's a recruitment for a county representative to the Citizens Advisory Committee of Contra Costa Transportation Authority, otherwise known as CCTA. The Department of Conservation and Development is seeking candidates who reside in unincorporated areas. Sorry, my tractor is pulling in. Who reside in unincorporated areas to represent the county on the CCTA Citizens Advisory Committee. The CCTA CAC reviews transportation programs and plans throughout the county, including transportation projects and programs funded by the county half cent transportation sales tax, Measure J, with the objective of advising and providing recommendations to the CCTA Board of Directors. So the Department of Conservation and Development will be accepting applications through August 31st. And you can apply online through the Department of Conservation and Development's website, or you can contact me separately. Yesterday, the Board of Supervisors had an 11-hour budget hearing where we're looking at over $23 million in budget cuts. After several years of relative stability, we now enter a period of increased uncertainty. Global factors beyond our control, including the coronavirus and the likelihood of the economy slowing or even entering into a recession, may require adjustment to our county budgets to meet these challenges. The state is poised to direct more funding to housing, homelessness, and individuals coming out of incarceration. While this may end up with more funding for those critical programs, past actions by the state would indicate this is likely to mean less funding for our other equally critical county services. We also need to address the uncertainty of countywide revenue streams, compounded by sharply rising wage and benefit costs. Although relatively stable over the last 10 years, general purpose revenue subsidies to the county hospital have again begun to have an impact on countywide provision of services. We can expect reduced funding available for programs in unforeseeable future, and this will necessitate cuts throughout the county's program areas. In spite of this, our goal is to continue to be fiscally conservative and avoid future fiscal ups and downs. The board, department heads, and the entire county workforce will continue to work together to retain the balance in the budget that includes recommendations for appropriation of fiscal year 2020 to 2021 and beyond. This item will be coming back to the Board of Supervisors on August 11th to adopt changes to their recommended budget, and again on September 15th to adopt. And then last, COVID-19, Contra Costa was put on the California Department of Public Health COVID-19 county monitoring list because its COVID positive case rate is greater than 100 per 100,000 population. Contra Costa took immediate steps to protect the local healthcare system from becoming overwhelmed, issuing a health this up and eliminates the backlog, our case and testing numbers will go up. The time frame is unclear as the state is still trying to fix issues with Cal Ready. The backlog is likely making our testing positivity rate higher than it really is. This is because positive test results typically come back faster than negative ones. The average turnaround time for Contra Costa sites is up to 10 to 14 days. Contra Costa County contracts with Quest Diagnostics for most of its COVID-19 laboratory work, with some tests done by the county's public health laboratory and by UCSF. County MPD testing sites are still testing asymptomatic residents, but priority for processing labs is being given to those with symptoms. The delays experienced in Contra Costa are part of the nationwide supply chain issue and labs being overwhelmed. The Board of Supervisors approved two new lab contracts at Tuesday's meeting to help with capacity and turnaround time. Contra Costa Health Services is offering less intrusive tests at county-run testing sites, and you can schedule an appointment online at cchealth.org for fast, convenient COVID-19 tests. As far as the hospital availability, on August 1st, there were 189 staffed ICU beds in Contra Costa County, and 135 of them were occupied. These occupied beds include both COVID and non-COVID patients. If there is a local COVID-19 surge requiring alternative care sites to open, the Craneway Pavilion and Contra Costa County Fairgrounds sites could together provide an additional 293 non-ICU beds. As of today, the county has had a total of 144 new cases in the last 24 hours, 8,324 total confirmed cases, 7,416 recovered. Again, these numbers are not totally accurate due to the state's testing backlog. There are 99 currently hospitalized with a total of 131 deaths. You can follow this data by going to cchealth.org homepage and clicking on the dashboard. In closing, cchealth.org has a list of resources to help residents through this time and encourage anyone with questions or needing clarification to visit this site. We also have established the Coronavirus Call Center or the live chat at cchealth.org. It's open daily from 8 to 5 where you can speak to a live person with your questions. And that is my report. I apologize for being so lengthy.
All right. Thank you.
Leah, this is Director Mayor. Just a question on the census. Are they going to target only those that have not turned in their census or do a sweep of everyone? On communications.
Only those who have not responded.
Perfect, thank you.
All right, thank you, Leah. With that, we'll move on to the Sheriff's Office. We have a representative from Contra Costa Sheriff.
Good evening, everybody. Lieutenant Duncan, Sheriff's Office. Okay, so for the month of July, we had almost 500 calls for service in the Discovery Bay area. We have taken 43 reports. At the station house, we made over 50 arrests. I think because we made so many arrests this month, our crime stats did actually go down, which is a bit surprising. We do have our automated license plate readers up now along Highway 4. We have gotten a handful of hits. We made a couple of arrests on stolen vehicles passing through the area. Some of the calls that we dealt with this month, we stopped a vehicle driving around the Regatta Drive area about 1 in the morning. We had a stop on that. The driver had a warrant for theft. In that same area, we had a window smash burglary where a wallet was taken from the car. Again, as a reminder, don't leave things in the car. And this person actually saw these people break in, but didn't call until the next morning, unfortunately. We had two domestic battery arrests. We had a unwanted guest, kind of a domestic situation where one was placed under arrest for citizen arrest for battery. That person ended up having a gun on them and was taken to the county jail for that. One of our deputies spotted a suspicious vehicle in the Sandy Cove Shopping Center. The vehicle left on the Byron or on the Bixler Road at a traffic stop. Both people on probation to search the car and found some methamphetamine inside the vehicle. Those two were booked into the county jail. We had a gentleman who ended up having some mental health issues call up on some suspects we were looking for in September. We have contacted the individual determining that he was having some help with you, that didn't see anybody, but he was in possession of a loaded short barrel shotgun. It's illegal in California, so we were under arrest for that. Late one Saturday night, we had three vehicles leaving through town on Highway 4. They were traveling about 100 miles per hour. We identified gave chase, ended up catching the loser of the three, ended up arresting him for reckless driving and towing his vehicle. So I don't think he'll be speeding through town again. We had a gentleman who was exposing himself, single park car, exposing himself to females as they walked by. We were able to get a license plate on that car, and subsequently were able to ID the suspect, who we confirmed through a photo lineup. So we've written that report and we sent that off to the district attorney's office, and I'm hoping they will file charges on this person. Fourth of July weekend, obviously we're very busy. One of the things we had was two motorcycles racing through town on the Stewart Bay Boulevard and some of the side streets. One of our deputies tried to pull over those motorcycles. One stopped, one took off. There was a short chase through town, and then the motorcycle stopped. We got that person in custody, who by no surprise was also in the influence of alcohol. One of the bigger cases that we had was there was an elderly female who went to the CVS to do some shopping. She drove back home, and when she did, she pulled into her garage. Unbeknownst to her, she was being followed by an actor of the place that was occupied by two females. When she pulled into her garage and began to get out of her car, the vehicle had followed. The passenger jumped out, ran to the garage, and forcibly took the purse from the victim, ran back to her vehicle, and took off. We checked our cameras, we checked surveillance video. We took it from the plate, found it was paper plates. They did actually go to the Walgreens in Brentwood, so we do have some video surveillance, but they're wearing masks the whole time. We put out a tracks flyer to all the Bay Area agencies, to all the agencies in the Bay Area, and we were unable to identify those two suspects. And we haven't had any other similar cases like that, so our detectives are still working on that case. I think that's kind of the main thing that happened, and I'll open up for questions.
Any questions from the board?
No, thank you so much.
Very detailed report. Thank you. Nice work.
Thank you, Lieutenant. Okay, with that, we're going to move on to the CHP. Do we have a representative from CHP on the line?
I am here, Officer Thomas.
Hey.
Welcome.
Awesome. Hello, everybody. Donnie Thomas with the Highway Patrol. I've got the activity that we have done. Where did I put it? There it is. I have been on vacation for the past month, and I've got a couple more weeks, which has been really cool. But the activity that I will give you here, application three, is arrest-wise, what we got, the information I got was for arrest-wise, DUI, we had five total, four were for alcohol, one was under the influence of other than alcohol, i.e. weed, three warrant arrests, one arrest for a hit and run, one arrest for a stolen vehicle, and two arrests for driving on a suspended license for DUI. Citation-wise, just in the discovery area, I see there's 12 for speed, 3 for registration, 1 stop sign, 2 equipment violations, I believe it was like landscapers towing trailers without a tarp, 2 for unsafe passing, which would have been on Highway 4 corridor there, and then 9 warnings for a moving violation. Let's see here. Just wrote some down. Terry, I had a question about parked vehicles on the street. Real quick on that, to address that, would be vehicles can be parked for 72 hours, i.e. trailers. As long as they're moved within 72 hours, the ordinance of getting it towed starts over again. So actually taking it, hooking it up, and moving it a couple inches, a foot, that is a moved vehicle. Let's see, on Sunday we had a street racing detail that was in East County. They were in the Brentwood area, kind of cold predominantly. They ended up kind of going out through the county. We hit them pretty hard. Myself and I was able to get a couple more CHP units, and we followed them quite hard, discouraging the activity. So in East County, I believe on Sunday, there wasn't much. They ended up moving over to the Vallejo and causing a lot of havoc, but that's not East County, so better for it to be there than where we live. And also, I wanted to say that's what we had, everything. I should be back in a couple weeks. If you're not going to see me anymore in my Crown Vic, the white one, they took it away. It's out of service. They ended up replacing it with a Dodge Charger. So if you see a new white Dodge Charger, that's me.
I saw it.
I prefer the Crown Vic, but don't be scared. It's me. Same guy. and everything here, I want to say if Ross McCumber is here, happy birthday, Ross. But you guys have any questions for me?
Surveying the board, and you've done an excellent job, Donnie, and we don't have any questions for
thanks,
you.
Thanks, Donnie.
Have a good ride in that new Charger. Has it got a Hellcat in it?
Yeah, I like it. they catered it down to only 730 horsepower, so it's okay.
You should be able to catch most folks.
It's the black key, not the red key.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. With that, we're going to move on to East. We're going to move on to East Contra Fire District. Is there a representative on the line?
Will you not show anybody that has been historically called in from East Contra Costa County on the line at the moment? If they happen to pop in, we will make the board aware.
Thank you.
It's his birthday.
Okay. With that, we're going to move on to business and action items. And we're going to go to item G1, a discussion on denitrification. Staff, please.
Gregory Harris, district engineer for the town of Discovery Bay, Herbert Engineering. We had a preview of this, I think, at the previous board meeting and one before that. There's actually two items that we wanted to bring before the board at the same time because they both have cost impacts related to the denitrification project. And we didn't want one or the other approved in a vacuum. We wanted to make sure that everyone was aware of two potential cost impacts to the denitrification project. First one I'm going to talk about is what's called the supplemental aeration project, and it has to do with how we provide oxygen into the oxidation ditches at plant 1 and 2. And basically the issue is this. When we did the recent master plan in 2019, there was sort of discovery made that it was likely that the equipment that we use in oxidation ditches at plant 1 and 2 were not putting out the correct amount of oxygen into the water. And when they determined the oxygen requirements needed, they kind of had to assume, not knowing the exact answer, but they assumed a certain deficit was present. And that was based upon power measurements taken by myself related to the existing equipment. So if it's not drawing enough power, it clearly shouldn't be putting more oxygen in the water, and that's basically the basis of that estimate. As part of the master plan recommendation, they put a budget cost together to add supplemental oxygen to the oxidation ditches. But they also made a recommendation that a new actual test of the oxygen transfer take place. So not just a power measurement, but an oxygen transfer take place. Board authorized that test in February, and we completed that test in March of this year. And as part of that test, we discovered that the existing rotors are oxygen deficit is about 100%. So they're about 50% as big as they need to be in terms of how much oxygen they're transferring. And that appears to be a combination of the geometry of our oxidation ditches and sort of, I'll say, over-exaggeration of the performance by the manufacturers. Now, these rotors are fairly old, so they're not recently installed, but at the time they were installed, we were provided curves showing their oxygen transfer, and based on our testing, they pretty clearly don't reach that oxygen transfer. So the issue primarily then became the oxygen deficit is much bigger than originally anticipated master plan, and the cost to resolve that is much bigger than what was anticipated in master plan. And then recently, starting in November of last year, periodically we've known about the deficit in oxygen transfer because over the last couple of holidays, last 3 or 4 years, especially Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, we would see dissolved oxygen in the oxygen just go to zero. So the equipment would be on wide open, we're doing everything we can, but we can't keep up with the biological load coming in the treatment plant. That started to become a daily occurrence this year. So starting around November-ish of this year, we started seeing it all through November, January, December, and even now under the COVID situation, we are seeing it, you know, 3 or 4 times a week where we can't maintain oxygen levels in the intoxication ditches. So as part of the denitrification project, we need the oxygen system to perform properly, or the denitrification project to perform properly. And so we've been investigating alternatives to resolve the issue. So before you, we brought in two alternatives. We came up with two alternatives that passed reasonable vetting along the way and are at least both feasible. One of those alternatives is to install air diffusers and air blowers in the oxidation ditches. That's option one. And the other option, option two, is to replace the rotors with more efficient and larger rotors, bigger horsepower rotors. And a different style of rotor that's more efficient. We've investigated those alternatives. We've been having weekly meetings with Veolia, town staff, and Herwit to discuss the ins and outs of those, and we prepared in this staff report a sort of summary of the pros and cons. The things are not equal in terms of performance. They're not quite equal in terms of maintenance. Option one is the least cost, but it has some downsides. And option two was more expensive, but was more reliable and simpler to use. So there's a table in the staff report of pros and cons. One of those cons that's important, it is if we keep plant one, the blowers are gonna make low frequency noise, kind of a thumping sound. We're very concerned about that at plant one because there's homes right across the fence. If we don't keep it at plant one and we follow the second alternative that's coming your way, move it all to plant two, that's still okay. However, the dust problems that we have at plant two are quite significant, and I think those are going to cause us a lot of headaches as well. So after going through all the pros and cons with staff, with Veolia and Herwit, we concluded that our recommendation is for option two, to install new high-performance rotors at plant at all three oxidation ditches wherever they happen to lie, and that'll be the subtopic of the next thing. That's the course sort of summary of how we got here and steps taken to resolve the issue. So the budget hit for the two alternatives on the staff report, the second page of the staff report is a very quick little summary. Alternative one, there was already a budget in the master plan of $640,000, so they anticipated at some cost, but they didn't realize the deficit of oxygen and didn't have enough cost anticipated in the master plan. So we have $640,000. The cost of alternative number one is $1.2 million, and the cost of alternative number two is $2.05 million. But we get some credits back. So in looking at how we can do things, we get a $640,000 the master plan already put the budget for. We get that as a credit. Also, we've decided in talking with Veolia that they really don't need the monitor covers that are in the CIP at plant one, since if we keep plant one, it's supposed to be a backup plant, it's not needed, so we could save $88,000. So there's a net savings there of $728,000. It's essentially not a savings, you already have a budget. You already have a budget, okay? But you have a deficit of $439,000 with that option one. With alternative two, the cost is $2 million. You get your same credit for $640,000. You get the same clarifier laundry cover credit of $88,000. But we had also scheduled at plant one a rehabilitation of $480,000 because we knew those rotors needed to be repaired. So obviously, if we're going to buy new rotors, we don't have to pay to refit old rotors. So in terms of how your CIP budgeting works out, you actually end up with a credit of $1.2 million. So the total deficit is $844,000 for alternative two. And the net cost difference between one and two is $365,000. So that's the sort of bump in cost that you're paying to pick alternative two over alternative one. Based on the simplicity of operations and going through the pros and cons table, we're recommending proceeding with alternative two.
asking, does the board have any clarifying questions?
Just one question for you. You talk about the biological loading at causing part of this problem, needing more oxygen to deal with that.
Yes.
Is that stabilized now?
You mean, are we getting worse?
Are we getting better or worse? I know we've gotten worse over the years.
Yeah, so every house you add makes it worse.
And with water conservation, you have less dilution.
We have the
pollutants.
Same amount of pounds.
With less water.
Less water to come with it.
Yeah.
Okay, so every time you add a person in the town who eats a hamburger and goes to the bathroom, we get it at the treatment plant. So it's population-based entirely. So as you add more people, let's say you did nothing.
Mm-hmm.
What would happen is these periods where we can't keep oxidation in air in the ditch would get longer and longer and every day longer and longer. And pretty soon, we'd be in a position where we can't treat at all.
Yeah.
You know, so basically what's happening is the system is being a little forgiving for you. We're not operating it how you should operate it. Like in no circumstances, you should just go with no air.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not good. In an uncontrolled manner, like what's happening here. And it's not just happening for a little while. Like we've had days where it's gone 12 hours. We've gone 24 hours in a bit. We've gone 12 hours, we could. And that's with all four rotors running wide open, doing the best they can, you know, stuff like that. So this has been predicted in the master plan. It's predicted we're gonna have low oxygen until we resolve the issue. And basically it's kind of kicked in. And then the other thing that I think is, it's pushed well beyond the holiday period.
Yeah.
You know? So when people are home for the holidays, you guys see higher loadings. For higher loads period, as have always been between November and say mid-January, when all city kids are home, people are home, and people are out in Sturgeon Bay. Now, with this and COVID, everybody's home. So it's like every day's a holiday around here. So that's what the tree plant looks like every day's a holiday around here. Everybody's home. That's what the tree plant
says. At least
does.
We can see what the max loads are, huh? I'm sorry.
No, I'm done. That's fine. Thank you.
The phenomena of our MGD not being what we anticipated to be and actually going down, and yet the biological load going up comes with that less water flow, correct?
Yeah, that's what causes it.
Okay.
That's what causes it. So the combination of the drought, the water meter installs and stuff, you guys reduce your water usage, people still eat hamburgers.
The concentration goes up as the flow, the water use goes down.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Greg, you had mentioned a potential sound increase. Was that under option one or option
two? That was under option one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and that would happen at both plants, but it'd be most concerning if we were to install at plant one.
Got it.
And the issue with the sound increase is some people can hear white noise, and it's not a big deal to them. But the one thing about these air blowers, it isn't just like a machine like a whine. It's more of a thump, thump, thump. And low frequency noise like that can go a long ways, especially around water areas and you know, middle of the night, people have the windows open, you know. I'm not saying you wouldn't get complained.
But then, I'm sorry.
No.
But then you also mentioned the dust issue in the same sentence. So
yeah. So at plant one is our noisy concern. Our big concern is noise. At plant two, these blowers are air blowers. They have filters, and we have to filter any dust out before we can push it through the diffusers in the water. Well, at plant two, there's farmland on all four sides, and we have air compressors outside right now at plant two, and they're getting beat up really bad because of the dust. They just spent $5,000 on those compressors over there, and they're just little air compressors. And we just spent $5,000 to fix those for the filters. And if you look at the dust filter, it's just cake with dust, you know, kind of thing. And so you're going to have that constant maintenance concern at plant two, trying to keep the blowers up, because you have to keep those filters really clean, because you're blowing the air through various fine porosities in the membranes.
But that's still under the alternative one solution.
That's the alternative one. Yeah,
got
so
it.
That's a downside to alternative one.
Got that.
I mean, alternative two, it costs more, but other than that, it's far easier to operate, far more reliable. I mean, that's what it comes to.
And just for clarification, because your voice dropped off there at the end, the staff is recommending alternative two, correct?
Yeah, we are recommending alternative two,
okay,
and increasing the budget of the denitrification project by $844,000.
Okay. At this particular point, I'd like to open it up for public comment. Do we have any public comment?
Yes, Bill Helfrich. As I understand it, you were presented a few months ago two proposals, one to just switch to plant two for, I'm going to use round numbers, $23 million, and an option where you refurbished plant one and you linked it with plant two and you were gonna spend about $13 million. So as I understand it, tied to discussion item two, you're basically going to throw out what you agreed to.
Mr. Helfrich, we're not on that. We're not on that item at this particular moment. This is just strictly this one item right now.
Okay, so now you want another $850,000 above what you had already spent engineering reports for to come up with this project price of $13 million. How are we going to pay for it?
Are you finished?
I'm done with that. I'll talk about it in number two later.
Thank you. Okay, we'll close public comment and bring it back to the board. This item has come before the wastewater committee a couple of times. We've reviewed it, asked the questions, and as unfortunate as the oxygenation report pointed out, was no way to know this problem until we got a report, professional engineer's report. So in our discussions, we highly recommend that the board consider option number two.
Yeah, the finance committee also looked at this issue today. There are funds available, and when we get to the point of financing the project, we can look at the options to fund, but cash is available.
And to go along with
and being on the wastewater and finance committee, I concur with both of those comments.
And not being on either committee, I've done my own research and had my own discussions, and I think it's a relatively small price to pay for a long-term beneficial solution.
It's a solution that, had it been presented to us prior to, could possibly be swayed the vote that we had on the night a few weeks ago. It's a great opportunity for less money than we had anticipated, and I think we've got to jump at that opportunity. It's unfortunate that it turned out this way, but it's an opportunity.
Okay, is there any further discussion?
Sheriff, this is,
yes?
Yeah, Sheriff, if I may, this is Andy's legal counsel. We do have a significant number of the public that are online, so we can make sure that there's nobody else that wanted to make a comment on this item. That's recommendation.
All right, I'll reopen public comment. Is there any other public member that would like to speak on this item?
Hearing Thank none. You, Chair.
Hearing none, we'll close public comment and move it back to the board. Do I hear a recommendation, a motion?
I'll make a motion that we follow staff's recommendation.
For?
Alternative two.
There's two alternatives.
Staff's recommendation. Are we talking both? I know that
you're right. I'm sorry.
We're talking item one.
Yeah.
Item one, alternate two.
Item one.
Alternate two.
Taking alternative two.
I will second that motion.
Okay.
Well, I have a clerk. Would you call the roll, please?
Vice President Toth?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Director Lee?
Aye.
Director Mayer?
Aye.
President Keith?
Aye. Motion carries. With that, we'll move on to discussion item number two. And this is about redirecting budgeted funds. Staff, please.
Okay, as I stated previously, we wanted to make sure that these items are both considered in your package at the same time, since they both affect the cost for the denitrification project. And it's actually a good question from the public. I'll just start with that question from the public and to address what's going on. So in the master plan, there were a couple options discussed about plant one. We've been talking about plant one for probably 8 or 9 years in the district. And I've been here for 20 years, and so we've been talking about it a long time. And there's lots of discussions about, are we throwing good money after bad, and what's the cost of moving? So in the master plan, there was a question brought up, and that question was, should we move plant one, all of plant one, over to plant two, to refill plant one at plant two? And that cost was an additional $13 million. So he's got a good memory. You pull out $13 million like that, he's got a good memory, okay? That'd bring a total project cost of like $23 million, you know, it was really expensive. And we said, the master plan concluded that wasn't worth it, wasn't worth that, okay? But underlying happening in the master plan is an assumption. There's an underlying assumption in the master plan, which was the goal of the master plan. The goal of the master plan was to provide all facilities needed for the district to serve everybody in their service district with reliable redundancy in place, okay? And in the analysis in the master plan, because of the way Plant 1 and Plant 2 are configured, Plant 1 kind of islands by itself, so it doesn't get help from Plant 2, it just kind of islands by itself and has to be self-sufficient. That's how it was originally designed. And long and short of it is, in the master plan, you need 3 oxidation ditches and you needed 5 clarifiers. That's what the master plan concluded. And then the master plan said, if you're going to move all that stuff to Plant 2, it's going to be $13 million. And that's going to treat everybody in your service area with reliable capacity between the two plants. As you know, recently we've had a lot of changeover with Veolia, and we're in hard design now. So we're at 30% design, or we were at 30% design. We were having meetings weekly to talk about the 30% design. And since we've had some new fresh eyes in the district, we've had people asking different questions than what was asked in the master plan. The different question is, well, okay, do we really need all that stuff now? You know, it's sort of a different question. Like, do we really need to move Plant 2 now? Maybe we don't need all of Plant 1. So the original question was, maybe we don't need to build the clarifiers at Plant number 1. Maybe we just need the oxygen. Everyone agreed we need a ditch. We need 3 ditches. But maybe we don't need those 2 clarifiers over there. We can save some money. On paper, it looked like we could save $1.6 million. So, oh, we can just cut these out. See if we can save money. Well, turns out Plant 1 can't work without the clarifiers over there, so that wasn't an option. But it did get us thinking about what we could do. If we could get by with less clarifiers, if we were more efficient about the location of the oxidation ditches. So we ran some numbers, and those numbers are in this report here. But on a simple basis, for the master plan, everybody in your service area takes 1.63 million gallons per day of treatment capacity at the treatment plant on your current concentrations, right there. Your current flow is 1.32 million gallons per day on average. So there's a gap there we've got to make up, right? It turns out if we build a new oxidation ditch at Plant 1, or excuse me, at Plant 2, and do nothing at Plant 1, that would get you a capacity of 1.54 MGD. So technically it doesn't meet the goal under the master plan, but we did some further analysis to see, well, what does it get you? How does it get you? What you would ultimately need to build at Plant 2 is 1 oxidation ditch and 1 clarifier, okay? And if you build 1 oxidation ditch at plant number 2, that would give you a capacity of 1.52 MGD. Not the 1.63 that serves your whole district, but a lot more than the 1.32 you're flowing right now. So what does that buy you? So right now you guys have 3 big developments in town. You have Newport Point, you have Pantages, and you have some leftover Hoffman stuff running around. I don't think he's ever going to go away. He's always going to figure out a way to build something. Turns out, by just doing the capacity analysis in the master plan, that each unit uses about 259 gallons per day, et cetera, you can accommodate, I think, what would we say, how many connections? Well, basically, you can accommodate those 3 projects, and I have the actual number of connections is in the report here. 235 gallons a day will give you 936 connections, new connections. So that's more than the size of those 3 projects that are standing out there right now. Once you get off those 3 projects, you're really into infill lots, random lots around the town. You know, there's nothing on the books. Jacquini is out of this. Jacquini's not in your service area, right? So Jacquini shows up, it's a different deal. But in terms of your service area, that's what you're down to. So when you look at what you need to provide and how soon, clearly you have developers, you have projects you've already approved, right? You have projects you already approved. You can accommodate that by moving 1 oxidation ditch to Plant 2. And then you have 1 clarifier to build in the future. That clarifier to build in the future is about $2.5 million. We figured out a way to do it. And we figured out a way to reduce cost in doing it. So the original concept was to move 1 oxidation ditch, 2 clarifiers, a rash gas pump station, and all the facilities needed to support it as if it's the whole plant moving. That's why it was $13 million. We went and figured out a way to reconfigure the piping at the plant to where all we really need to do is move the ditch, and that gets you to 1.52. It's not what was the goal of the master plan, but it's off the long down way down the road. Then what could happen is you can build that at a clarifier as con- conditions change. So we would say, once you get to a flow of about 1.52 MGD, you guys would say, okay, it's time to book that project to build that clarifier. That could be 5 years, 10 years, that could be 20 years from now, you know, when that happens. You know, you don't know when that's going to happen. And what we kind of conclude here is the benefits of building a brand new ditch at Plant 1 are pretty substantial. It's all new facilities.
At Plant 2.
I'm sorry, at Plant 2. The benefits of building a new oxidation ditch at Plant 2 are very substantial. It's all new facilities, and it's far easier to operate. As you know, Plant 1 hasn't been run for 5 years. We haven't run it. We haven't turned the switch on and run the plant for 5 years. Veolia has been maintaining the equipment so that it could be run, okay? But it has been run, and the reason it hasn't been run is it's hard to run. You know, it's a big commitment to bring on Plant 1. It's not just turning a pump on. It's, you know, getting the biology started. It's moving the mixed liquor over. It's a lot of steps to bring that plant online. And there's some violation risk in doing it. So it's basically been avoided, right? You build that ditch at Plant 2, and now we can configure the piping to where it's as easy as just bringing one basin online, moving from one basin to the other basin. It can be done in a few hours, be done in half a day. And there's no risk of process upset, and it all flows by gravity. And so it'll actually happen. You can actually use your redundant equipment. Right now, you quote on paper, have redundant equipment at Plant 1. Like, on paper, we're supposed to be able to go to Plant 1 in an emergency. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. You know, but you could really do it, I don't know. Because it hasn't been done in so long, you can question whether it would really work if you try to do it. So, at the moment, I think the benefit of, you know, the master plan said, we can't leave Plant 1 like it is. If you're going to say it's a plant, it's got to work, we got to put a bunch of money in it. So we got to put $4 million into it if we're going to use it. You have to do that. But also, if you do that, you'll have a backup plant to Plant 2. It's not going to be like your normal rotation. You know, the oxidation ditch has structural issues that we can make some repairs to, but we can't fix. We can't make it a new ditch. There's certain things we can't do. Versus at Plant 2, it's all new equipment. It'd be like, not just new equipment, but we can design the structure better so that it's similar to what we have at Plant 2 now that stood the test of time and is much, much more robust. So process-wise, it's hands down an easier plant to run. It's also less maintenance because, again, Plant 2 doesn't just need a ditch. It needs the clarifiers, the access pump station. It needs all the support equipment to run with it for Plant 1 to work. Whereas Plant 2, we really just need a ditch up until 1.5 MPD. So in terms of the process impact, that's your impact. You know, it gets you a long ways down the road, but it technically doesn't get you everything that was supposed to happen underneath the master plan. The plan would be, you have everything in the master plan, you're just delaying building one of the clarifiers. That second clarifier is, or that's, excuse me, the next clarifier at Plant 2 would be $2.5 million. I mean, obviously you could spend it now, but we would say why, you know, because we don't think you need it. You don't need it right now. And depending on how fast it develops, it might be 5-10 years out, right? So why would you spend money now on something you don't need that's that expensive? So the long and short of it is, you're kind of re-looking, you know, you get a different pair of eyes asking different questions in a different way, and we face the problem a different way. So we looked at the problem a different way, and this is a slightly different answer than what came to the board, and you guys voted on it last time. Because the goal was different. We're relaxing some criteria to see if we can make it work, and this is what's available to you if you're willing to make it work. If you're willing to accept a little bit lesser capacity, if you're willing to spend a little money later on, $2.5 million later on, you can have everything at Plant 2 and have all the benefits that that brings. If you want to say, nope, I want all 1.63 now, and your choice would be throw in the clarifier now or build Plant 1. The way it's for the plan. You know, you can always do what's in the plan. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with the plan. I think this is a little bit better, but it's not apples and apples. It's apples and an orange. It's both fruit. They're both going to get the job done, but they're different, and you're not going to be able to make them the same because I can't fix Plant 1 to be a new plan, no matter how.
So what's staff recommendation?
Staff recommendation is to move the oxidation ditch to Plant number 2 and increase the budget for the denitrification project by $550,000. In doing that, based on your last vote, you're increasing the budget for the project.
All right. Do we have any clarifying questions from the board?
I know you said this twice, I just for my own, just so I make sure. So without this, the fourth clarifier, if I may, I mean, I know it's 2 through 6, but yeah, the fourth clarifier at plant two, we're at 1.54, which is above where we need to be. It's not, that's the fourth clarifier limits us going to the max capacity of the oxygen, apparently. Is that correct?
Right. Yes.
Am I saying that right?
Yes.
Okay. Just out of curiosity, just because I wonder why you do things the way you do, Greg. On this drawing that you gave us, you actually have 6 clarifiers over at plant 2. What's the thought process of the other 2 clarifiers?
So the other 2 clarifiers were the original clarifiers shown. They're all dashed in this feature. But that was the original layout that was proposed.
Oh, way back when we bought the land and developed it. Okay, I'm with you. I remember now. Yep.
You see some other structures hanging around in there.
Yep.
That was the original plan. That's why it was so expensive.
Gotcha. Right. Well, that's why we have a good footprint, though.
By the way, that space is still there.
Right.
You can still add those clarifiers later. I mean, you know, it's not like you're giving up the space.
Just more curious than anything else. I knew it didn't affect the project, but okay. I don't think I have any other questions.
I just have one question. So, out of curiosity, should we have been operating plant one more than just maintaining it? Yeah, I just understand.
Well, I think that.
Does that cost us anything?
Yeah, you know, if you're going to own a car and you park in your driveway, like it to run for you, you probably should run, right? Just turning it on is one thing, but you probably got to put a few miles on it to keep it going. So,
keep the tires
run. I would say it's probably would have been best had it been run, but given the operation challenges, you know, that's an operations decision.
Yeah, just looking at a little bit more of that, and I think that he mentioned before, the biological process.
Going up the front, Jerry.
Because of the biological process, when you start going back and forth between one plant and 1-2, it takes probably about 30 days to establish in order to compliance. So it's not that simple. It is it's very detrimental for the biological process to go from back and forth. In addition, right now at this point, you don't have enough flow to sustain either or. Okay, so it's pretty much plant number 2, it is capable to sustain what you got, but plant number 1, going back and forth, you still would have to use a little bit of plant 2. Half of plant 2, half a plant 1, so you would have to divide the influent coming into the 2 plants. So it's a biological compliance. Right now, just to give you a very clear example, right now there's a new sample that we have to do, the PFAS. And for every time if we are not in compliance, we're going to be paying $10,000 per day until the sample takes place. So it's not that simple. Compliance is very serious.
Thank you. I did remember one other question, if I may. That reminded me of one thing I thought about when you were speaking, and that is that if the plan goes forward to put a third ox ditch at plant 2, that ox ditch is not going to sit there and just have the rotors run once in a while. It's going to actually be in a rotation where the biological will be there. It'll be a part of the process. It'll truly be an exercise and used facility, so it's ready to go at any time, or will it be just sitting? I don't even want to go there. Tell me what's going to happen.
So,
right.
It would only make sense.
I think that right there, it has to be more operationally. I think that you hit it right on the nail. But as you can see, there's a distance between plant 2 and
plant 1. No. Forget plant 1. I'm just asking about the new ditch.
Just
it will be alternated.
It'll be always in. It'll be in rotation. It'll be ready to go. The biological will be there.
2 and 3. Once with the floats that's supposed to be the 2 point and up, then we got the
okay.
Two ready to go.
That's what I want to be sure of.
And only one other comment on the plant 1 is you had talked about $4 million, and that's $4 million budgeted if we were to stay there. We don't know what we're going to spend in reality until we open that up.
Right.
It's a real old.
So there. So in terms of downsides, there are risks.
Yeah. So just be aware of that.
That's listed, I think, in the downside alternative.
I'm sorry.
If we were to keep plant 1, it's old, and they have not opened.
We don't know
up.
What current cost would be to incur. Okay, understood.
Could be much greater.
I agree.
For
understood.
All right. At this particular point, I'm going to open it up to public comment. Is there any public comment?
I'm just trying to understand. You had originally 2 proposals, 1 just to run a plant 2, and it cost a whole lot of money, and
and that cost a lot less money. Now it sounds to me like you're saying, let's throw all that concept out. We're not going to do anything with plant one. Whatever we had budgeted to fix it, we want to move it. So now we're just going to run plant two, and we're going to do with another $1.5 million and the money that you had budgeted for plant one, you'll be able to accomplish what your other project was, or was just going to be plant two for only $1.5 million more than your where you stood before this meeting. Is that right?
Correct.
Except that it's not $1.5 million, it's $500,000.
It's only $500,000. And the reason for it is we're not bringing over all.
$850,000 for your.
Oh.
I mean, your own engineer says you're gonna think of one and two together.
Whatever.
The answer is correct. Yes.
Correct.
So
we're not gonna have a discussion. Finish your comments, please.
Well, I'm just commenting, you spent a whole lot of money with engineers, came up with the $23 million plan where you were just going to use plant two, and then you had the $13 million plan where you would tie it together. It was $10 million cheaper than just going to plant two. You spent a lot of money engineering that, coming up with those proposals, and here you come back less than 6 months later with, hey, we could make plant two work for just another $550,000 or $1.5 million more than we talked about 6 months ago. Seems like we paid a lot of engineering fees that we didn't get any money for. Thank you.
Seems to me like we saved $10 million.
Is there any other public comment? Hearing none, I'm going to close public comment and bring it back to the board for discussion and or a motion. Any further discussion?
Make a motion to accept staff recommendation for G2.
Second.
Then I have the clerk call the roll.
Okay.
Well, 1 second, please.
Excuse me. Can we clarify option two?
Option two.
Yeah. Thank you.
I missed that on the first one. Thank you very much.
Vice President Gatto?
Aye.
Director Grace?
Aye.
Director Lee?
Aye.
Director Mayer?
Aye.
President Pease?
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you, staff. And I think this is a very wise decision. And with new eyes and with new concepts, we saved a lot of money and are going to be operating in the future very efficiently. Okay.
Thanks,
with that, we're going to move on to director's report.
Nope. You missed one.
Pickleball court.
Number three.
Oh, excuse me. Excuse me.
Thanks,
I'm
Greg.
So sorry.
You're going to get somebody upset.
Okay. With that, we'll open up the staff for a discussion on pickleball court.
We're going to bring up the town's recreation manager.
Good evening.
Hey, Monica.
Hello. So before you have your staff report for the discussion to award a contract to Dryco Construction, a contract in the amount of $104,642 for the conversion of the pickleball courts. Just want to give you a little reminder. On February 5th of this year, the board approved authorizing staff to apply for the remaining WW grant money from East Bay Regional Parks District. There was $68,804 remaining on that grant. On May 11th, we were awarded the grant. It was approved by East Bay Regional Parks District to go forward with the conversion. On January 27th, 2020, we received a letter. The town received a letter from Discovery Bay Recreation and Sports stating that they would donate up to $30,000 to be added to the $68,804 to get the project completed. We went out to bid on July 21st, 2020. We received two bids. Staff met, discussed, and we chose to go with low bid, which was Dryco, along with alternate A and B. Alternate A is to complete the fencing, to have a PVC coating on it, to have a much more polished, finished look, along with the top which is very common in pickleball, for the inner fencing. Staff reviewed the bids, again went with low bid and alternate A and B, bringing the total to $104,642. We discussed with finance, we went over about $5,838 and found that we do have some carryover funds from fiscal year 1920 that we can use to complete the project, along with a 15% contingency to get it completed. So staff would like to recommend the board to authorize the general manager to execute all contracts and purchase orders to complete the conversion of the two tennis courts to six pickleball courts.
Okay. Do we have any questions? Any clarifying questions?
I have a couple.
Sure.
Where's my descriptions of alternate A and B?
It's right on your staff report. If there's a little grid at the bottom that...
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, my bad. I was looking for it back in here. And then my other question is that that's roughly $6,000 plus the 15% contingency fee coming from carryover funds. Are those the funds that we discussed at the last meeting, that $100,000 that we discussed that was available, or are those different funds?
Same pool, money there for both. Does that answer your question? That would not be taking away from the money that was discussed at the last meeting.
Okay, so the 100,000, there's still about 100,000 of carryover.
There is still, correct.
It still could be open for it's obviously there's a vested interest in why I'm asking the question.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and we worked with finance on that.
Understood. I just wanted to make sure
that
just
we would be
want
a
clarification. Thank
yep.
you.
Yep.
That's
yep.
it.
You're
That's
welcome.
All I have.
Okay.
Okay, at this particular point, I'm going to open it up to public communication or public comment. Is there any public comment on the line?
Chair, we're not seeing any action on the phone lines.
Okay. Well, with that, then we'll close public comment and bring it back for any further discussion and or a motion.
I'd like to make one comment. I'd just like to recognize the local pickleball players who contributed a third of the cost of this out of their own little pockets for, you know, I think what's going to be a very nice facility. And so I would make a motion to support the staff recommendation.
Second.
Okay. I'd just like to make a comment. I think that by the town being able to pick up the $6,000, it appears that there was other items in an alternative C, which is cabanas. Has there been any discussion on a cabana? On say the pickleball folks are so contributing towards that, or?
There has not specifically for the cabana, but we have discussed with them that they are continuing to fundraise to continue the project
so
going
that,
with needed items.
And staff would continue those discussions at an appropriate time. Possibly might be able to get the cabanas done, but it would be probably pretty much based on contribution.
If I could just make a comment backing up what Director Leek had said.
If I may, this is Andy Legal Counsel. We have a motion right that's on the floor. So are we waiting for a second? Or are we
already got a second.
It's been seconded.
It's been seconded, so we'll go ahead and have the...
Sorry about that.
Well, this is discussion.
No, we're fine.
It's fine.
We're fine.
We're okay.
We're good.
So, go ahead.
So I came on the board about 3.5 years ago, and the pickleballers were here trying to find resolution, and it took a couple of 2 or 3 years, but it's come where it's a shared responsibility, and great job by all parties.
Okay, with those comments, will the clerk please call the roll?
Vice President Buteau.
Aye.
Director Grace.
Aye.
Director Lee.
Aye.
Director Mayer.
Aye.
President Keith.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
And we'll thank staff for working through
all of
this.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
A tedious job, and thank the public for their input also. Now, we will go to director's report, unless the general manager has any effective report.
No report.
Okay. Internal operations.
Yes, internal operations met this afternoon. Just briefly, we discussed we went over the interim draft financial reports for July 31st. They're still subject to audit and finalization. Also discussed the emergency operations plan staff is working on, and working with Rec 800 on that issue, and also the issue of transferring the treasurer's responsibilities for the town of Discovery Bay from the county to town of Discovery Bay staff. So that's moving forward.
Okay, excellent. Finance committee, please.
Finance committee also met, let's see, we discussed, we went a discussion of the treasury update, which was again the financial statements draft, as well as moving the treasurer responsibility from the county to the town. Harrison Associates is also continuing work on the zone analysis, and the other two items that we discussed with the board has dealt with tonight.
Thank you for that report. Water Wastewater Committee, Director Mayor.
I attended the Water Wastewater Committee this afternoon, and discussions are items G1, G2, G3, along with an update on the marina underwater pipe and the progress made on that.
Okay. Don't see any other reportable items. Is there any future items the board might consider?
No, there's possibly one, and I don't know. I'm just going to initiate it, the thought. As I come down from Stockton on Highway 4 into the signal light in Discovery Bay Boulevard, I believe it's 55 miles right up to the signal light itself. There is no slowdown period, and we've had a recent accident, a head-on, with someone going at a very high speed. So if they're coming in at 55 and hit a green light, my point is, maybe we can work with the agencies to see if we can get a slow to 35 or something in that corridor coming down from the wastewater plant to Discovery Bay Boulevard.
We would work, that's all Caltrans jurisdiction, so yes. We would work through Caltrans, and how we do that is we contact Assemblyman Frazier's office, so I'll write an email to them expressing that concern.
Good, thank you. Thank you. Okay. With that, we're going to move into a closed session. I'll turn that over to legal counsel to announce that.
Thank you, Chair. For the members of the public that are on the line, you can remain on this line until the board comes back from closed session, because at this time, at 8:08 p.m., the board of the town of Discovery Bay is going to adjourn into closed session to discuss the items identified on the agenda as N1 and N2. They will be leaving this line and moving to a separate line and having the confidential session. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.